Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times a Podcast. You join us on Sunday the 12th of September. We only last spoke to you on Thursday night, but since then a lot of stuff's happened at Celtic. It's been a pretty interesting few days. Dom McKay left Celtic, or resigned for personal reasons, on Friday night, or Friday evening into Friday night. There's been a lot of speculation about why he did it. And then also Celtic were back in action in the league against Ross County at Celtic Park in a game that they eventually won 3-0 after a goalless first half. So quite a bit to speak about, so we'll get straight into it. Danny, an interesting few days. We'll start through the Ross County game, because I know whatever happens off the field, then what happens on the field's on it matters most, to be completely honest. So Celtic were back to winning ways. They went in, there was debuts for Carter Vickers, Jota, Albion Ayeti got his first start of the season, and Josip Juranovic also got his home debut. It was a much changed Celtic. Obviously, when we recorded, we didn't know that Kyogo was going to be out for 4 weeks. That is now the case, and it handed Albion Ayeti his opportunity, but it wasn't as free-flowing as it had been. I think a lot of us had expected that, having coming off the back end of an international break, but 3-0 and another home win, it's got Celtic rolling again.
Aye, it was good just to pick up the 3 points after what happened 2 weeks ago, and with Kyogo being out, I think you've seen how much they miss him, even already. I think the intensity, the up front, wasn't there. You know, Ayeti's just not that player. Ayeti, as he proved, is a penalty box striker. He's very, very effective when the ball gets into the box, as we've seen. But they missed the threat of Kyogo, not just the his threat, but what he does after the ball there. You know, his movement off the ball is brilliant. And it just as if we were missing a wee bit of a spark, really. But I thought that I was watching it, and then on Twitter at half-time, people were saying, oh, we're going to drop points, we're terrible, this is awful. And I thought they were being quite harsh. I thought the first half, we should have been at least 3 up in the first half. I think a sharper Ayeti, like, if, say Ayeti plays in the next 3 or 4 games, I think in 3 or 4 games time, he scores that one he had in the first half. He just snatched at it. A bad I hit the bar twice in an odd day, either cuts the first one back or he scores both of them. So they certainly created enough chances. He had that one at the back post which he should have scored, then he hit the side net. So there were enough there. I thought Jota looked very, very bright, but you know, not always an end product, but you get that for wingers, you know what I mean? But I always thought he looked bright, head up, always looking to make stuff happen. Carter Vickers slotted in at the back, looked like he hadn't played like a proper competitive game in a while, but you know what, he got on with it, but he got better as the game went on. I know he got nutmegged right after he got named the man of the match, but a pleasing debut for him. I thought Starfelt gave the ball away a few times, but looked a wee bit more secure at the back next to somebody that's actually got proper experience of playing professional football for such a long time. Joe Hart made a great save. But aye, it was, in many ways, it was as good as it was going to get yesterday. And after the last couple of weeks and Kyogo's injury and what had happened off the field, just for Ayeti to score twice and like Carter Vickers to score a wild deflection, but it was as good as it could have got yesterday for me. And 3 points, 3 goals, and just roll on to next week, and well, roll on to Betis on Thursday even. But it was, for all it was ever going to be, it just win. After what happened at Ibrox, just to win, get back that good feeling again, and we're kind of turning Celtic back into a bit of a fortress again, which is good to see.
Aye, definitely. As you say, it's another home win. Celtic Park last season saw far too many points taken away from it from the opposition teams. But Andy, as Danny said, I think a few people are maybe panicking after the first half, but I think that's just a sort of testament to how good Ange's teams have been in the first half. They sort of blown teams away. But although Celtic went in goalless at half-time, there was a multitude of chances. As Danny mentioned, Celtic hit the bar a few times. Ayeti had a chance or two as well. And looking from the outside, you can't really be unhappy with that result. You win 3-0, your striker, who's getting his first start of the season, gets 2 goals and a debut goal for Carter Vickers, as well as a clean sheet as well. So what was your thoughts on the Ross County game, Andy?
I think that, like you said, the most important thing is winning the games. I think you've got to win your home games, but it's here, you've got to win every game, really. We can't afford to sort of be dropping more points after, obviously, the last league result. I think that you're going to have games where it's maybe the first half's not quite what you wanted and you're getting it at 0-0 or even sort of 1-1. We've seen it in years gone by. It doesn't even just happen to Celtic, it happens in leagues across the world. The home team absolutely batter somebody for 45 minutes and they've got all the ball. Don't put it in the net and then get a sucker punch. I mean, that'll happen. I was the same as Danny. It was never sort of panic was setting in or anything like that. I always had confidence that there was enough quality there to get the ball in the net, and they weren't really offering much, if anything. No, Hart had that save, a really good save, but aside for that, that's why he's there. That's why you trust your goalkeeper, that when they do get their one chance or whatever, that he's going to be good enough to to make a stop, which is what he done. But as you said, there was a lot of debuts in there, and even Juranovic, that was his sort of first proper debut at home in his own position. So there was a lot going into that as well, and that coupled with obviously your Jota and Carter Vickers, and as yet he was he's no started a game, so there was a lot of sort of new people in there, and players who hadn't been in the system, and then the new boys who've come in haven't had all that time to train with Ange and get to know the way he wants his players to play and understand the system to the same level as the boys who have gave us the 6-0s and all the rest there. So it was never really a panic for me at half time. And again, it's if you're giving me a 3-0 win at home, then you're taking it. Like, I think it's a good result. I'm really happy where you're getting 2 goals. I think that's brilliant, and it'll only hopefully wonders for his confidence, because I'd rather your strikers are scoring goals and there's people who are competing for places. Although I think Kyogo's absolutely safe with his houses when he comes back, regardless of what happens. But there's a lot to be sort of positive about. Abada's just, he's one of the players that I think he'll get better as time goes on. Yota, I thought he's a really positive player. And the end product will, sometimes it'll be there, sometimes it'll not. It's just try to get it more often than not with a young boy like that, and hopefully that comes. But I think it's a good result. We move on to the next one. A lot of these players are going to just get some time in the training pitch with Ange. The more games they get with him, they're only all going to improve, and then you start to get certain players back, and obviously that then improves the bench, which is probably the one thing looking at the game. It's just not a strong enough bench for me, but we've spoken about that. I'm not going to go into the whole transfer dealings that we made again, but that was just the real issue, that if anything did happen, we couldn't really turn too much on the bench. Although, again, really happy with Montgomery when he came on, but he is a young boy, and similarly to what we're talking about, Danny mentioned with our young wingers, I feel this, that's the same for Montgomery. He'll be the same. He'll have games where you just feel as if there wasn't much, but I was really happy with him when he came on.
Aye, Danny, as Andy mentioned, Adam Montgomery got a chance yesterday, just because it looked a similar injury to, or a reoccurrence of the injury that Taylor suffered in Alkmaar. Just one of the things I want to ask, is that a bit of a worry going forward? I know Montgomery's he's impressed every time he's played, but the fact that we didn't get rid of Bolingoli, yet he couldn't even make the bench yesterday, is if Greg Taylor's injury is needing some further treatment that could see him out for an extended period, is that a worry for you in the left-back position?
No, because I like the boy Montgomery. I think he's a very good player. I've said it a few times on here, but he's got an awful lot of dig about him. He's no shy. He plays with his head up. He's very quick and he's direct, and it's exactly what you want in a young player. I think he's probably better further forward, but Ange has obviously shown a lot of trust in him, playing him at left back. You know, bringing him on in games and games that only, you know, he brought him on in Mitchelland. He brought him on against Alkmaar, you know, home and away. Well, these games aren't finished, so he's obviously got a lot of trust in him, and I really like him. I like Taylor as well. I think Taylor gets a bad rap for a lot of fans. I don't think he gives the ball away or puts in worse crosses any more than anybody else does in the team. I think he just sticks out a wee bit, but I like Montgomery. I think he's a good player. And you actually see more young players come through. Ball and goalie, I think I'd forgot he played for Celtic. I think people should just do that. I don't think he'll probably come back. He'll probably get paid off in the next couple of weeks or months or whatever, but he's as good as away, I'd imagine. But I like Montgomery. I think he's very good, and we should take a wee bit of pride in the fact that these young players are coming through. And, you know, we always say, when's the next, you know, can a young player to come through? I think Montgomery's got a good shot at being it. I think he's very good, but they will need to nail down a position for him, I'd imagine. I don't worry if he starts at left back. I wouldn't worry. I mean, I wouldn't worry if he played at left back Thursday night. I wouldn't be too worried.
I think he's probably still quite exposed, but at the same time, if you throw him in, he might just take to it. As I said, he's impressed me every time that he's played. I just thought it was a bit of a concern. Obviously, Liam Scales is there. I know he's been spoke about as a possible sort of player that can play that position if needed. Danny, I know I'll come back to you because I know Andy already mentioned it, but I just want to say, I know a lot of people had divided opinions at the time, but I thought yesterday again just showed the importance of Joe Hart. I thought the save he made at 1-0 was just fantastic, and for us to go up the other end and score, I know Abada put the cross in for a Yeti, but I had to give Joe Hart a bit of an assist for that as well, because it's like Andy says that you expect your keeper to make saves, but I just think the impact that Hart's had is just, it's fantastic for our defence. And I know he finished the game with a captain's armband on yesterday as well. I just thought I'd give him a quick mention. I think he's been a great signing, and yet again yesterday made great point blank save.
Aye, Joe Hart is fast. We'll see how it works out with Celtic, how it pans out under Andrew in the next couple of years, but at the minute Joe Hart is he's in the Scott Sinclair, Chris Sutton bracket where you look back and go, that's the most important signing that was made. That was the signing that kind of, like, a turning point. Like, Sutton came in and that was it. He brought an arrogance, like a good arrogance, brought a confidence, brought a swagger to Celtic along with Martin O'Neill. Sinclair came in and he was like, Rodgers, get this is, what, you know, what Rodgers can do to a player. Sinclair was the prime example. And Joe Hart could be that for Ange. Even though the back four is chopped and changed an awful lot, you feel a wee bit more secure because Hart's there. I keep seeing people say things that it's great to have goalkeepers that use their horns to make saves, and it was great. And I think, I thought it was a great save yesterday, right? But I thought it was a poor finish for the boy. But Joe Hart's did well to get across and make a save. Joe Hart's still got to get across. It's the same with the two against Jablonek. I thought the first one was right at, was kind of right at him, but he's reacted well. I thought the second one was a great save. You know, and people are just saying, oh, well, it was right at him, blah, blah. But it's still 3-4 yards out. He's still got to be there. And we've not had that for our goalkeepers in the last couple of years, so, or the last year. So Hart's been a great signing so far. And I know he made an arse at Alkmaar, but he redeemed himself in that game, making two great saves. He's just a leader. He's played football for, you know, he's played in great teams. He's won Premier Leagues. He's been to Champions Leagues, semi-finals. He's, you know, won FA Cups, League Cups. He's done an awful lot in his career. He's went to a World Cup. He's played in Euros. I get embarrassed when Pirlo chipped the ball down the middle. But he's using all these experiences to come up and be a leader. And, you know, there was a cracking cheer around Celtic Park when he got the armband yesterday. And I know it's dead cliche. We often, like in the group chat, it's like folk who get caught up and all this and that, but Hart does look like he gets it. He looks like he's come up and thought, fuck me, what a club, what a experience this is, playing for Celtic. He looks like he's completely engulfed in Celtic. And I know they did the thing with Johnny Thompson for his 90th anniversary, which was a nice touch. And Joe Hart, I know all of him, and like, I know Bane and Stevie Woods had t-shirts on as well, but it just speaks to Hart coming in. And I've seen a few interviews with him where he just loves being here. His Instagram's always dead positive. I know it's no, I don't think it's him that runs it. I know he's got like a team all day, but he just looks like he's completely engulfed in everything that Celtic are about. And like, as I say, I remember years ago Presley captaining Celtic at Tynecastle and people going after him up because he'd only been there a couple of weeks, but Joe Hart got a cheer when he got the armband yesterday. So it could be, we'll see how it goes with the season, but we could be looking back in 5-10 years and, you know what, it all changed when Hart came in, and that was a catalyst for this team going on to be something, because he's, you know, goalkeepers play right into their 40s now. You can still get 4 or 5 years out of Joe Hart, and I hope we do. I think it's good that we spent last year, you know, arguing who was the least worst out of the two keepers. Now it's just Joe Hart starts and that's it. I know there's a theory somewhere that Barkas is the best keeper with the body's feet. I've not seen any evidence of that myself, but Joe Hart's the number one. He starts every week, and that's good, because the defence will chop and change with Ralston and Juranovic and stuff, and with it, like, Welsh, don't know by way, you've got Vickers, Starfelt, Julian will come back, you've got the left backs that will chop and change, and with the intensity that Ange plays, rotation's always going to be a part of it. But to know that we've got a solid keeper is like a big help to the back four. And as I say, the best thing about it is he looks like he's taking to the club straight away. And it's been nothing but positive. It's been really good. And I think a lot of people have changed their opinion on Hart. You know, everybody thought it was kind of flash English, kind of knob, the way he went on when he was at Man City and that. But he looks like a decent, humble guy. And I'm just really buzzing that Hart's the goalkeeper. And I hope he does stay for 3 or 4 years and really kind of cements his place as a fan favourite.
I completely agree with what you're saying. I think even we things like, when I'm at the game, like, you see him speaking to the ball boys the way he comes out before the game and after half time, and he's just telling them to get the ball moving quickly. And like, I think it's just like, people thought he wouldn't suit Ange's team, and people questioned whether it was an Ange signing. But I just echo completely what you say, and I think he's been a great signing. But I think that'll wrap us up for the Ross County game. We'll move on to what quite a few people wanted us today, an emergency episode on this, because it'd been at least 3 months since Celtic done something fucking mad off the pitch. But Andy, I'll come to you. Celtic Football Club on Friday evening released a statement saying that Don McKay had stood down from his position for personal reasons. You had your usual birthday card pish from McKay saying he'd like to thank the board and everyone at Celtic, and then Bank here saying that thank Don for his efforts. He's been replaced in the interim period by Michael Nicholson, who's been at Celtic since 2013 as company secretary and head of legal. So we'll just come to it. It was 71 days that we often joked about when Mackay actually started, but he actually started July the 1st officially, and 71 days later he was at the club. And aye, Andy, what was your initial reaction? And we've had a few days to digest it and hear a lot of what, like, we've had some sort of sources and we've seen papers talking about it as well, but aye, what's your thoughts on the whole debacle?
I think it was a bit like everybody, just it was surprise. Probably the best word to use it, because when it get mentioned, obviously, just sort of like just came out with it. We were obviously all just sent the group chat, and it was probably a surprise or anything, but that was likely just because no much had come out of the board, and it felt as if things, they were just getting on with things, and he was just getting on with it. And obviously, some things have come out now, and people are talking, and once you maybe step back and take a look at obviously what's happened, it's beginning to sort of paint a picture in itself. But it was a surprise because when it happened, because you finally thought that maybe we were starting to slowly but surely move into the right direction, and there's been a lot of talk about the project and sort of modernising Celtic and getting us to this sort of place where we want to be. And obviously Mackay was big in talking about what being world class and all the rest of it, and for whatever reason, or for a few reasons, he's away now and he's not here. He's no longer the Celtic CEO, and I think there's obviously been a few factors played into it. But as you mentioned earlier, it's the big thing is that this Disney effect on the park. That's the most important thing right now, is that we can't allow this to affect the 11 men that take to the field sort of twice a week or whatever it is to try and win football matches. And I thought Angie's comments about obviously no impact and it's no disgust, that sort of our minds were all in the game at the weekend. And I really do think Angie will be, a lot of that will sort of ring through. He'll not allow that sort of noise, if you like, to impact the team. But I think it's something that we've got it wrong. We've got the appointment wrong, and he wasn't the right man for the job. So I think it's the priority now has got to be that doesn't happen again. We can't afford to get it right again. I think that's as simple. It's just that straightforward. Like, we can't afford to, so they need to take their time and get the next appointment right. And I think that ideally you're wanting that to happen come the next transfer window, because the CEO's obviously got a massive part to play in that. There's been talk about Ian Bankier being next and all the rest of it, and I think that'll be very telling if that happens next. But it was just the fact that it came out anywhere, Dan, and obviously you were just as surprised as myself with it. Just because Mackay hadn't really been saying much in terms of, it was all very positive whenever you did hear from him. But I think, don't know, for me, when I look back now, it's through everything that he said at the start that we were going to see, it was slowly but surely became clear now looking back that wasn't happening at the same sort of rate that you first expected the way he was talking when he first came in. I don't know about you, but that's just how I feel now. It became clearer that if I'd maybe paid more attention to it, that there obviously was something going on there. There was a problem.
Aye, Andy, I think, hey, definitely from what we've been told and what we've been reading, like, we are in a sort of privileged position where we can reach out to people and try and find out information. And we done that on Friday just because there was rumours going about, oh, it's a health issue for him or his family. And thankfully, it was nothing to do with that. We were assured of that. We put that out, and then people were accusing us of, like, just spreading rumours and stuff. But I think anybody that sort of had a problem with that, we're in a privileged position where we've got people that listen to us and follow us. And if we can get genuine information out, well, we're always going to look to do that, just because it's in the general interest of the support not to spread misinformation. But no, I think it was a shock, but it wasn't a shock. As much as Mackay's only been there 71 days, it's not the first time that there's been rumours that they're going to try and put, say, Gordon Strachan in as, say, director of football, or Lawwell still working behind the scenes. And until we've sort of heard, like, from what you've seen from journalists and stuff as well, it looks like there was a sort of breakdown in relationship with Mackay and other sort of board members, and probably most importantly, guys like Dermot Desmond and Ian Bankier. So, like, that's obviously never going to help. And you've got to, Tony went to the first press conference with Mackay and Postecoglou, and Mackay spoke very well. And look, I know anybody can throw buzzwords about and make a good first impression, but he seemed genuinely a very positive person who was name checking teams like Brentford and Spanish teams as well, in terms of how he wanted to sort of revolutionise Celtic. And I don't know if he's maybe just wanted to change too much in our board, because the one thing that I don't think will come out of this is I don't think people are going to be naive enough to just assume that, oh, the board gave Mackay every opportunity to, like, sort of prove himself and gave him free rein the same way. Like, I don't know. It's a really tough one to see from the outside. Like, I don't know if Mackay signed some sort of, like, non-disclosure agreement or something with Celtic, and that's why we've not heard from him. But the fact that he's, like, his Twitter's deleted and he's removed Celtic from his LinkedIn profile, it's sort of, the silence doesn't paint a good light for him, in my opinion. But as I say, if it's a legal issue and he signed an agreement not to talk about it, then he sort of left himself out there for these rumours to come about and just be sort of unanswered. But I don't know. It's tough to see, because I know a lot of fans still have a problem with the board. They think they don't want to push the club forward. They don't want to modernise the club. And there's been plenty of examples of that over the last sort of 15 years. And I don't blame anybody who's got that sort of image of the board in their mind, because I personally probably agree with that as well. But it caught me off guard, because you just think, oh, well, surely, like, he has only been there, what, 10 weeks or whatever officially, and where the transfer window, like, sort of passing, you sort of, like, I thought, well, maybe they will just get down to business and sort of look for a director of football or whatever now. Because that's the one thing that worries me, is, like, I know Andrew was out yesterday in the post-match press conference just saying about not really wanting it, sort of, like, said that Mackay was the only man who brought him to Celtic. Like, Mackay, Postecoglou, I thought he spoke very well, and he was very positive about, like, it not having any impact on himself. But the thing is, like, Mackay was probably working with Ange to sort of identify a director of football, from what you'd been told, like, or some sort of technical director. So I think it's probably the fact they've not got that in, it is a worry, because I know, like, I thought it was an interesting comment. Danny, I'll come to you, but in the Celtic statement, they mentioned about this new guy who's taking interim charges being a real team player. And, like, I don't know if that was intended as any sort of dig to Mackay, or, like, to give us any sort of indication, but I just don't think a lot of fans will really take to this guy, because I know, like, you don't want Celtic to, like, always promote from within, but when they keep, if this guy eventually just stays in the job, then it looks like he's been part of the same board that a lot of fans have protested about and held to account for, like, last season's failure, and just generally Celtic's failure to progress in Europe as well. But Danny, I know I've covered quite a bit there, but what was your thoughts on Friday evening, and how have you, like, you've had a few days to mull over it, what's your thoughts on it now?
From, I heard after news, obviously, because I was on my way home for work, but like you said earlier, it's not the first time we'd heard that Don Mackay was leaving, because I think, was it middle of July, somebody said he was ready to run in his notice, and then I heard at the start of August he was thinking about going, but I just put it down to, I think it was because Hearts had beat us or something, I just put it down to bullshit, but obviously things weren't right and he's left. None of it makes sense to me. None of the explanations or rumours or whatever makes sense to me. Do you say we were all getting worked up in the group chat about it, and I think we reached out to somebody because we didn't want to get all worked up, and then it turns out it was something, you know, health-wise with him or his family, you know, we didn't want to get all raging, and then that would come out and you'd look like a bit of a dick. So we were keen to make sure he was all right and his family were all right, and we got that assurance, which was good. But none of it makes sense. I don't know. We've been lucky enough to been going to these fan media things, and any time we've been to one, it's like, I went to the first one with John Kennedy and David Turnbull at the end of March, and it was positioned to, I can't remember if it was on that call or if it was discussions we had after it, but it was pushed that it was very much Don Mackay's idea to get fans involved. And this is going to the point that people say it didn't start until July and all that, but so he obviously had some sort of influence for back then. But has he done that bad a job? I mean, there was a thing in The Sun about going out to Michelin, as if that was his fault. I've seen a lot of people stand up for the board and say, oh, well, if he was doing a rubbish job, it's good to get rid of him. But this is a board that watched a manager go into a Champions League qualifier with zero strikers on the pitch, despite even two on the bench, losing that Champions League qualifier, a very winnable Champions League qualifier. In fact, the easiest route we'll probably ever have got into the Champions League, we only had to play five games, instead of the usual eight. Lost that game, and then proceeded to go on Radio Scotland and create a rift, an irreparable rift that clearly ended any relationship between manager and player, and yet he lasted another 7 months or something, six or seven months before leaving. So forgive us for no buying that the Celtic board have been proactive for a change. Without knowing anything, and we don't claim to know anything, I certainly don't know anything. To me, it looks like this guy's come in with some ideas, and a certain person at Celtic, who, let's just call him Mr. Desmond, has no liked these ideas, and there's been a clash, and out goes Dom. I just fail to see how you can judge a guy on 9, if it is 9 weeks, you know, one transfer window when we're talking about a rebuild, when they've been quite happy, and they've been quite happy for fans to believe that this guy's coming in to revolutionise the club, and quite happy for him to go and get the manager, get the new manager in, quite happy for him to be positioned as this is. I know Ange came out yesterday and says, look, don't get caught up in the narrative of who hired me, but, no offence, Ange, but, you know, you were pictured next to Mackay at every fucking opportunity before he even came to, before he got to Scotland. He was there to greet you when you got to London for Japan. He took you to Wembley. He was there when you were at Celtic Park. They were joined at the hip for a couple of weeks. And then you sign 12 players, which is just, take away the three boys that signed for the B team, that's still 9 players. I can't remember the last time Celtic signed 9 players. I know it was very much needed and we're still short and we need more, but that's a massive undertaking. They spent an awful lot of money, and then just a week after the window shuts, they just go, right, Dom, it's not working, is it? I'll see you later. None of it makes sense to me. The only thing that makes any sense is that Desmond is just no on board with these new ideas and probably wants it to be much more of a closed shop, and this new guy being a team player, that kind of sickened me when I read that, because it's kind of, do you know what it's like? It's like the Labour Party, you know? Because all you hear is he's a Blairite, or he's not a Blairite. Well, all we hear now is he's like a Lol guy, or he's not a Lol guy. And that's just a shambles, anyway, for a football club to be run. And I know, as I say, that we'll probably never find out what the actual things happened, and because, as you say, Dan Neville, they all have signed these non-disclosures. But as you're quite right, Mackay's been panned. He got panned off Alison McConnell in the Times or the Herald. And that's coming for Celtic. I mean, everything she's wrote over the last couple of years has came for the board. A lot of people that have been, apparently have got Lol's ear, have been in their websites and in their papers slagging Mackay over the weekend. So Mackay's obviously left himself open to that. I'd love him to come out and tell his story. I don't think it's been enough time. I don't think you don't position the guy the way Celtic positioned Mackay and then bag him after 9 weeks. It just makes absolutely no sense to me. I remember being really taken back at the press conference for Big Ange with Bankier's demeanour. I mean, he looked like, he's a Celtic chairman, he looked like he would rather be anywhere else but that conference. He spent the whole time constantly raging. And there's a kind of Walter Mitty about persona theory going about Mackay, that he walks in with all these buzzwords, but he's actually not very good. Well, why are people using that to defend the board? The board fucking hired them. And he was there for, he's been there, I mean, he was at Celtic Park for April. It was at Ibrox in April, when nobody could get in, apart from designated, people. And so, obviously, it was part of Celtic. So, if he was shadowing Lol for a couple of months or whatever. But, so, there'd be plenty of time to find out, you know. But to 9 weeks, just mad. This just doesn't happen at football clubs. You know what I mean? Big clubs, they don't just chuck CEOs out after two and a bit months. It's crazy, and unless Mackay was to come out and actually tell us, then you're never going to get to the bottom of it. But hopefully Celtic have a proper process at replacing him, and this guy does just remain an interim, and Celtic have a proper due process, and it's not just the next guy in a decent position that drinks in the director's box at Celtic Park who takes over.
Aye, I think you picked up a lot. See, just on what you're saying about Bankier, I thought that as well. I thought at the opening press conference, he was just sort of there for the sake of being there. It was I found it very strange. And then, he didn't even have the fucking guts to go and face the fans as well. Like, he just apparently was fine to go to the mainstream media one, but didn't want anywhere near the fans media one. And I don't know, maybe he was aware of Tony, and then in that aspect, I can't blame him for not wanting to be there. But no, on a more serious point, I just think it stinks. Like, everything you're reading is all Mackay wouldn't phone Lawwell for help, or he wouldn't speak to Ross Desmond or Dermot Desmond. And like, if it's the case that Mackay is being resigned or jumping before he was pushed, then if he's doing that because he didn't want to work with guys like Peter Lawwell and that, then like, fair fucks to him. But like, I'd love him to come out. Like, he's fucking welcome on here or any other sort of outlet to get his story across, because Celtic fans would have respected him a lot more if they if he was refusing to work with Peter Lawwell. And like, it's an absolute shambles that the club don't need, because everything about the club's sort of still positive, but everything should be focused towards making us get this league back this year. And now we're in a position where we don't have a CEO, well, not a permanent one anyway. And like, from what he was appointed very quickly after the Lawwell announcement, he was sort of like put out there like he was leaving, and then he only served what, half his notice with the SRU, and as you say, was very much seen at Celtic and seen in the stands. And like, for that to break down in such little time just paints Celtic in a terrible picture, because even if like Celtic were like the journalists are wanting people to believe is that Mackay just wasn't up to it and he wasn't sort of understanding the role, then that's a massive fucking failure on the people who appointed them, like your Desmonds and your Lawwells and whoever else was involved in appointing them, because for them to have fucked that up so much just paints them in a terrible picture. And the way they've got one of their pals into this sort of interim, you know, like, it just feels like somewhere you've seen it often enough with Celtic, even with fucking managers, where they get put in an interim basis and then just for sort of laziness and because they're yes men and they go on with the board, then I will just keep him. And you'll keep hearing is, oh, it's a bad time to get a new CEO, they're on jobs and that, and it's a process that will take months and months, and then it'll probably just based on how we do this year whether they keep this guy in the job or not. And if they don't, then they'll probably just use him as a sort of fall guy and appoint somebody else, because Celtic were selling season tickets off the back of Mackay and Postecoglou and how they were dealing with the club and the press and the fan media and just everything. Like, they were the guys that were selling the club division. Like, everything, like every time Mackay spoke in that press conference in June, he was just talking about transforming the club into world class, and it seems so far away from that to now. But Andy, I'll come back to you, but it's just, where do we go from here? Because I think most fans would like to see an external candidate appointed and like identified, but as I say, like, whoever's involved in appointing this one is probably going to be the same people who were involved in appointing the like Mackay. So it's a sideshow we just really can do without at the moment.
It absolutely is. Like, they've made a rip-roaring current. There's no two ways about it. They've made a total ass of the appointment. It's big clubs don't operate like this. We've said that a million times. We constantly bang on about how big we are and how we're this and we're that, but then we act like some fucking two-bit diddy mob. It's bonkers. I just can't understand how we've got to this stage yet again, that we find ourselves in this position, despite being promised that it was a turning point and we're going to sort of, things are going to change going forward. And obviously you buy into that because you want to believe that, but as I say, like, it's the number one priority right now has got to be that this does not impact what happens on the park. It doesn't impact Ange, it doesn't impact the players, and that they can be given all the support and all the tools necessary to have a successful season, to win the league and everything else, be successful as we possibly can this season. That's the most important thing. Secondary to that, it's just got to be getting the right guy in. And no falling into the usual shite, like as you mentioned, just fuck it, he's been here, we won the league while he was here, so I will just keep him. We've seen where that's got us in the past, and that's obviously a fear that it's just one of the guys that were already at the club and already at the board just stays. It's something we don't want to see, and the potential repercussions of that could be fucking disastrous. But it's we've just got to get the next one right. We've no goat room for error. We barely had any as it was. And as you said, there was season tickets sold on the back of Mackay coming in and getting his man and all the rest of it. And well, I appreciate what Andrew's coming out to say. And I do think there would have been more sort of people involved. Listen, it wasn't just Don Mackay that would have been at the interviews and at the meetings and all the rest of it to bring Andrew in. But don't paint it to us that that's his man and then just try and ignore that you've done that. It's one of the big issues that what I've got with how it's coming across with Celtic, and then it's just the usual sort of selling shite to the gutter press again. That still doesn't sit right with me at all, and it's something that you'd have hoped would have stopped when Mackay came in and they put a stop to it, but it didn't. So even if you just look at that wasn't good enough in itself. That never sits right with me. We shouldn't be speaking and selling fucking stories to these diddies. Because there's fucking scumbags who would sell us out of the first opportunity to write a bad headline that would sell papers on us. But it's all about getting it right and until we do that, not allowing it to impact the club and the players and the management there. They've got to just be given everything that they require. Because it's going to be a fucking long, hard season, and obviously it's no ideal, but that's, as I said, that's the most important thing for us. That it doesn't then become an issue, and the new CEO that sort of maybe gets involved too much, if you like, and tries to sort of undo any work that was already done. Because I've no doubt for a second that Mackay and Ange would have had sort of, they would have been putting a lot of work into certain things. And while in the grand scheme of things, it's no work to it for him as CEO, I wouldn't like to see any potential breakdowns, because we already had before Ange coming out with comments about transfer dealings at the club and wanting things done a bit quicker. I hope that's sort of the end of that, and while I respect him for saying it, I just hope that we don't put him in a position where he feels he needs to call out sort of the people in the upper positions at the club. So that's the most important thing for me, Dan. But it's Celtic, so I wouldn't be surprised to see us fuck something else up in the coming week.
I think we'll move on to Mackay at this moment. Obviously, it's something we'll probably touch back on more information comes out and as the sort of hunt for a new chief exec does come. But Danny, we'll move on to a more positive story. Celtic are going back to Seville this week as they kick off the Europa League campaign against Real Betis. It's a pretty tough opening game. Betis managed by Manuel Pellegrini, obviously ex-Villarreal, West Ham, Man City, Real Madrid manager, and quite a few big-name players in there, like Zinabo Fekir and a few others I'm sure people are aware of. But it's a pretty tough one. I know it's quite interesting because I know actual Real Betis don't play until Monday night, so that's quite a short turnaround for them, especially considering we played our game on Saturday, so we'll have put 48 hours to recover and prepare for this game more than they have. So I know Manuel Pellegrini had actually complained about that to the Spanish FA, and he was quite open about the league games being the priority. So I don't even know if they'd maybe be a sort of weaker team if they decide to make a few changes on Thursday. But it's sort of one that if Celtic get anything from Thursday, it would sort of set us up in a good shape for the group, I would say. Just sort of gives you a positive boost. But no, how do you see Thursday going in Europa League? As we spoke about a few weeks ago, it's a tough group we've got, but kicking off in Seville, how do you see it going?
I don't know, I wouldn't take too much into what Pellegrini said about the league. I'd love that to be the case, but I think history's shown that Spanish teams really take European football really seriously, especially Europa League. It's a way into the Champions League, and they'll be looking at what Villarreal done last year and thinking we can match that. They've got a very good team. They've bust every one of the coupons I've put on with them in it this season so far. So I don't want to. I'll probably go back to them again. It's a tough game, but they're all tough in this Europa League. Especially the away games, and there's no easy games in Europe these days, as we get told, and it'll be tough. But I think it's just another game for Ange. It's another game he can get, another chance for him to get his point across to the players and stuff. And wish we were getting Kyogo on the team. Unfortunately, we're not. But it'll be a good game. It'll be, I think it'll be an open game. There'll be probably plenty of goals and just hopefully we can score more than them. But the Europa League's where you'll really see, maybe not this season, but Europa League is where you'll see where we're at as a team. No, I don't think we're anywhere near the finished article, but the Europa League will show us how far we need to go. Because if we're being honest, under this current regime, Europa League's our level, and once every couple of years we'll get into the Champions League, take a few downs and get paid for it. But Europa League's probably where we should be in terms of like our quality of team. So sometimes some people might argue we're not even at that level. But so we'll see how far away we are from what Ange wants today by the end of the group. But I'm hoping for a positive result Thursday.
Aye, Andy, I know Danny sort of mentioned about best Danish scoopings this season. That's sort of shown in the league position. They've drawn two and lost the other game in the first three games in La Liga this season. As I say, they play Granada on Monday night. And I know you probably watch a bit more European football than any of us on the pod, but what's your thoughts on Real Betis and how tough a task do you think it is?
I think any team for La Liga is going to be a tough task. And like Danny says, just any sort of coming out for that game with any points and no losing, a positive result. I think you're away from home in European competition, then, like you say, we're no the team that we once were in Europe, and we're still rebuilding. That is where we're at now. So any point a draw, I'd take that right off here and now. I think that'd be a tremendous result. They are a good team, as I say. These Pellegrini's are fucking one of the most experienced managers there is. He's sort of been everywhere, done it everywhere. Do you know what I mean? And they're probably really, really happy to have him in their team. I think they've got some fantastic football players. That Fekir that used to play with Lyon, it still amazes me that they managed to get him and they've held on to him. I think he's probably their biggest threat for me. Sort of just one of the players I think he could definitely be playing at a bigger club. And then again, they've got quality throughout their team, and it's that type of quality that can hurt you. And maybe more so against the teams that we came through against. While I think that AZ were a really, really good side, a strong side, they've not got the same quality whereby they probably let us away with one or two things, and they really could have punished us. I think a team like Betis will. Even Sergio Canales, again, sort of plays behind the striker. That's somebody else who, if you give him the opportunity, he will punish you. Any Pellegrini team's going to be like that. But I think we've just got to go and play with that no fear, and I think Ange will do that. It's just one of the games. Like, they're a dead attacking team, and so are we. And it's just, I think it's got goals in it. But as long as we don't come away losing the game, I think I'd be really, really happy with that. Just don't start off this campaign with a loss. But it's odd because I think, obviously, we play them in the first game, and then it's... Are they then our last game? Or our second last game? They're our last game, aye. So I think when we play them then, it'll be a far different game. Obviously, we'll be at home, but granted, this Touchwood doesn't he? So once Keogh goes back, he doesn't get injured again. And I think it'd be a very different game because there'll be Andrew that had all that time to work with the team. We'll have, hopefully, what you'd like to think is a full-strength 11 back with Kyogo. And then the big Greek boy, like, so obviously getting fit and getting up to speed. So I think it will be a different game when we face them again. I don't know if maybe a bit like the Rangers game, you could say it's came too soon or it's coming too soon. I don't know. But like, they're a really good side. I think it's going to play into our favour, or you'd like to think it plays into our favour that they play Granada, who are also a really good team and had a really good season last season, that they play them the Mora. I think, I mean, I'd be pissed off if it was Celtic and on the Scottish FA done that to us. But it's going to be a tough game regardless. It wouldn't surprise me to see us lose it, but I'm optimistic that we can score against anybody, to be honest with you. I really do think, especially in Europe, where it'd be weird to say it, but like Ross County, probably their whole, when you play them in a team like that at home, their whole game is just stop Celtic from scoring. So naturally, there's no that space in behind. There's no as much sort of space for your creative players to operate in. And there's a lot of probing that goes on in the games, whereas against Betis, it's no easier to score, but the players have got more space to operate in, and they've got more sort of time to do a bit of damage, because you're more likely to have counter attacks, you're more likely for the game to be more open, because they're willing to obviously come at you just as much as you're going at them. I think all in all will help us, because with Jota's and with Abada's, I think it's a counter attacking. I really do think we'll score a lot of goals when we regain possession in a team of maybe a couple of players out of position, because I think we've got that about us now, and the way Ange sort of likes to see us play is at that high intensity and just players busting that gut to get there and getting the end of things, similar to how Atletico Madrid, that way it's just everybody just works for each other, and there's never a moment where you see them not busting their fucking arse to get an end of something. And I think there's players in that team who you see that for us, and that's why I can't wait till Kyoko comes back and just see that again. It's infectious. But I think it's going to be a tough game. Is it too soon for us, and are we maybe getting in no as strong as I'd like to see us? Then aye, absolutely. But we've got players there that can score his goals down, and I think that I could see us coming away with a draw. I do think so. I know we said that Spanish teams, they take the competition seriously, and they do, but I think it might play into our hands a wee bit, that they might be a bit leggy and might have to make a couple of changes, given that they'll only have played away from home again in the Monday. So I'm inclined to sort of look towards a score draw for this game. I think we've got that in us, and I think it would just do the world of confidence for Ange, for the boys, and the team is gonna keep on moving.
Ah, definitely. I think it'd be a great result if we got a draw there, because I actually think I know it's only the first game, but I think it's probably gonna be pretty pivotal in the group in terms of who gets that second. I know we've spoken about, if you get third in this group, then you'll drop into the Conference League knockout, which is fine if you then get to that stage, but we should be looking to try and qualify. And the problem is, if you go and get beat on Thursday, then obviously we play Bayer Leverkusen in our next game, and they play Ferencváros. And if you've lost the first two games, which is obviously it's possible, because Betis and Leverkusen are going to be good teams. So if then Betis went and beat Ferencváros, you're then 6 points behind, and it's a bit of an uphill struggle to get out of the Europa League group anyway. But no, I think we'll really struggle with Kyogo. I just think you look at the goal he scored against Altmar, like, it's just, I know Abada does brilliant, and it's all about his speed, but Kyogo's just got that pace as well, and knows where to be. And well, I was delighted yesterday for Ayeti getting these two goals, and he'll be very, very influential and important on the result we get on Thursday. If it's a Yeti we go away, I know there's not really been any talk about when Giakoumakis will be ready. So I don't know. I just think he's obviously a completely different player to Kyogo, and that would be my worry, just because I think we might be up against it this in a sort of similar sense that we were against Altmar. And I don't know if I'm pinning too much hope on as well, hoping that they do rest a few players if they're playing Monday, Thursday, and then Sunday. So any sort of rotation from them would be very welcome from me. But I don't know. As we say, Celtic always get chances, and I think it's probably important if we are to get in from the game that we do score first. I think you don't want to give these teams any sort of confidence to come on to you. And if we can somehow get the first goal, then it just brings them forward, and it should exploit opportunities for us to counter, and then you never know what could happen. But no, it's a very tough game, and one that, I think it will be very vital for us to get something if we are to try and get through the group. I'll go first with prediction. Unfortunately, I'm going to predict that Celtic will beat, but I don't think it'll be an embarrassment of any sort of nature. I think we'll get beat 2-1, and I don't know, it seems to have been the theme of the season with games like Michelin and then even Ibrox. I don't know if the game will come too soon for this team in terms of who we're missing as well. But hopefully we can take a positive result, but unfortunately I think we might get beat. I've got Danny's prediction here, because he's had to shoot off because he's actually guesting on another Celtic podcast this weekend. So if you're looking for Double Danny, then go over to GigPod and you'll catch him on with Rizzo this weekend. But he's left his prediction for me. He's predicted a 2-each draw with Albin Ayeti and Leal Abada getting the goals for Celtic. So a bit more positive than me. Andy, who are you going to go for your prediction?
Well, Danny's actually humped me out of my 2-each prediction that I was going to take. So, I mean, I'll claim that if it actually comes up. But other than that, I said a score draw, so I'll go with one each in that case. I do see you scoring. I don't think that there'll be many games this season where we don't score in. But I think it's just maybe too soon for the team and for a lot of the new boys and things like that. So, give me one each.
Aye, I think that'll do. It's been a slightly longer episode than we're usually doing. Just once again, thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring the podcast. Remember, I'm going to manscaped.com and put in the discount code TRIM4TIMS. That's TRIM, the number 4, TIMS, for 20% off and free shipping. And aye, that helps us cover costs on the podcast. So thanks very much for everybody that's done that so far. Just as well, again, thanks to everybody that's subscribed on YouTube. We are looking to create more content for that. So be sure to get subscribed there so you don't miss it. But Andy, unless you've anything else to add, then aye, that'll do us. And hopefully the boys bring us back a result from sunny Spain.
No, not to add, just aye, hopefully a positive result, and God bless Ange Postecoglou. For the latest Delfo Rude of Valentino, he had a Pino back in his palmy days. You knew every time you meet a nicer creature, you got a teacher of blood and daddy ways. But even Rudy would have felt the strain of making smooth advances in the rain. All this year I quite by chance to what romance I found the answer. Flamenco dancers so far the finest bit. There was one who whispered, who was a la vista. Each time I kissed him behind the castanet, he rattled his maracas close to me. In no time I was trembling at the knee. All this year I as soon as they go brown, I guess they know every fella will be queuing to do the wooing his girlfriend won't allow. But still I think today's a lucky day. That's why I learned the way to shout aloud.
Enjoyed that, Dad. You just know she went on to become a jolly TV presenter.